radio.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's Monday morning. It's August 5th, 2013, the Feast of the Dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Roma. Beautiful, beautiful basilica. Of course, one of the four major basilicas in Rome, and that's a spot we always take our pilgrims to when we do our trips to Rome. I was on Brian Patrick's show this morning talking about St. Mary Major and the stunning gold leaf and, oh my goodness, all the artwork and the icon that's there and just absolutely incredible. You have to see St. Mary Major when you go to Rome, one of the four major basilicas. We make it a big part of our trip, especially during the Feminine Beauty and the Arts trips we take in December every other year. We'll be going again next December in 2014. Not this coming December, but December of 2014. So stay tuned for news on that on my website. And speaking of news, coming up on the show today, we'll have all your news, including the latest with some of those travel alerts that are out there and what's going on at the various embassies around the world. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to check in with someone who had a great time at World Youth Day, Father Andrew Seba, who was recommended to me by our good friend Vanessa Denhagarmo. He is newly ordained. He attended World Youth Day, and he's going to give us a full report and how we apply what the young people learned at World Youth Day now that we are home. He's going to share his highlights of the experience, his thoughts, and what he's bringing back from World Youth Day. The National Hour, I know you're going to enjoy this because they are among our favorite people. That's right. The Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. Sister Joseph Andrew, in particular, is going to be joining us about their new CD, Mater Eucharistica. That is coming up. It's coming out on August 13th. They are going to be distributing the news of it. There's a press release that's been circulating the last couple of weeks. So we wanted to give you a preview, play a little bit of the music for you, and, of course, share the thoughts and the hopes of the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, about this beautiful CD and what it can do in terms of helping you in your prayer life, your meditation, and who knows, maybe even through the gift of music, bring people back to the church and to the Eucharist. So Sister Joseph Andrew joining us at 9:15 in our National Hour on EWTN. Then we're going to wrap up a Monday morning, as I said this morning, on Brian Patrick's show, talking more about the Holy Father's words about women. Wonderful words about the important role of women. Even if you didn't hear it from the secular press, he said an awful lot of meaty things in terms of we have to have an expanded theology of women. Women need to be more involved. They're involved already, but they need bigger roles. We'll look at some of the roles of women already in the church. Ashley McGuire with the Catholic Association was interviewed by EWTNnews.com. She's going to be joining us live at 39 minutes past the hour. So that's our program for a Monday. And, of course, if you have a question for any of our guests, please give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Well, we only have a few more days. Coming up this Saturday, the big Islam is at a Religion of Peace conference that's taking place at Eastern Michigan University. Now, given what's going on in the world and the threats, terrorist threats, and they're saying they're coming from Al-Qaeda, it'd be interesting to talk about this at this conference. I'm sure it'll come up with the raised awareness and alerts in and around the world. So you might want to check out the conference. Tickets are going fast. I don't know how many are left. We'll try to get an update for you. But we Catholics are the worst at always registering at the last minute. This happened last time with the most recent conference we had back in January, Catholic Witness of the Nation Divided, and a lot of people didn't get lunch because they registered at the last minute. So if you would like to get fed and watered, in addition to hearing all the great talks and being there for the debates, make sure you register now. Go online at AveMariaRadio.net and get your ticket. It's this Saturday at Eastern Michigan University. I wish I could be there. I'm really glad the talks are going to be recorded so I can hear them afterwards. But I am going to be heading out of town tomorrow. Along with Al and Nick, we're going to the Catholic Marketing Network to broadcast live from CMN. And then on Friday, instead of coming home, I head down to Jacksonville, Florida, where I'll be speaking for their Diocesan Women's Conference, along with Katrina Zeno from the Diocese of Phoenix, and also our friends Julie and Greg Alexander from the Diocese of San Antonio. And they have a beautiful conference called Courage to Love, and it's sold out. I think there's about 800 women who've purchased tickets, so I'm looking forward to that. But again, I wish I could bilocate, because I really would love to be at this conference this Saturday and hear the talks and witness the debates as well regarding the topic of Islam. Is it a religion of peace? So I'm just saying, don't come crying to us if you don't have a ticket by the end of the weekend, if they're sold out or if you can't get a lunch. All right? Very, very important. Get your tickets early. All right? Or now it's not early, but at least before the conference, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Check it out. Get your ticket. Be there or be square, as I say. Once again, coming up on the program today, Father Andrew Sivas is going to be talking about his experience at World Youth Day. Sister Joseph Andrew joins us from Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, on their new Eucharistic CD, which is just beautiful. Okay, so we'll tell you all about that. And then we're going to wrap up on Monday morning. Very excited about our conversation to take place with Ashley McGuire from the Catholic Association on what the Church and the Pope really say about women versus what the media say the Church says about women. All right? Frankly, the only thing the media said after the plane ride home from World Youth Day and that press conference that took place on board that plane, all the media talked about was the fact that the Pope affirmed the Church teaching on the male priesthood. They just kind of dropped everything else. Surprise, surprise. So we'll examine that, all of that coming up, and much more, plus you, of course, on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, the Feast of the Dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. As far as the forecast for today, going to get some showers. They say there's about a 40% chance of some rain. High of 75, then it'll clear up. Tomorrow does not look very good. A little bit warmer, but they're saying scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Could get some sunshine, high of 80. Wednesday, isolated thunderstorms, 82, looking toward the end of the week. 79 and cloudy on Thursday, and partly sunny on Friday. 79 on Thursday, 81 on Friday. It is a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection on the Ave Maria Radio Network. It's 8:07. Let's take a look at our news and see what's happening in and around our world on August 5th, 2013. Well, yesterday during his Angelus address, the Holy Father asking the crowds to pray with him that World Youth Day pilgrims would continue to respond to God's call in their daily lives. He said, I ask you to join me in praying the youth who have taken part in World Youth Day can translate that experience into their daily journey. He said, into their daily conduct as well, and also into their important life choices responding to the personal call of Christ. The Holy Father cautioning, we must not forget that World Youth Day is not just one of those, you know, mountaintop moments, fireworks of enthusiasm for their own sake. Rather, he said, it's a stage of a long journey in following Christ. He said, always remember young people don't follow the Pope. They follow Jesus, carrying his cross. He said the Pope guides and accompanies them in their journey of faith and hope. The Holy Father went on to talk about the particular difficulties faced by the youth of today, the challenging words from the first reading yesterday for the Mass, especially something we can apply to the youth, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Young people, he said, especially sensitive to the emptiness of meaning and values which surround them. He said, unfortunately, they pay the consequences. But, he said, meeting the living Christ in the large family that is the Church fills our hearts with joy. Speaking of young people, the website for World Youth Day 2016 is already online and in English. Pope Francis yesterday announcing from Rio, actually last week, announcing from Rio de Janeiro that next World Youth Day would be in the homeland, of course, of Blessed John Paul II, in the Krakow Archdiocese. And his personal secretary, JP2's personal secretary, Cardinal Stanislaw Dziwisz, they're getting ready right now to host the World Youth Day. The website announcing this World Youth Day will also be the grand day of St. John Paul II, the day of thanksgiving for his figure, for his personality, for his love of young people, and for all that he left after him. The great heritage we still live with as he continues inspiring not only young people to live in honesty, close to Christ and his mother, Holy Virgin Mary. The city will be happy to welcome youth from the entire world. We're inviting you today, young people from Poland and beyond, youth from Europe and from all the continents, Cardinal Givas says, we will do everything possible to greet you, dear young people, in a cordial and dignified manner. And we would like to request you bring enthusiasm and good hope for the future to our homeland, as we need to have this support in you. And by the way, if you'd like to check this out online, simply go to Krakow2016.com, and you'll find the website up and running for World Youth Day 2016 to take place in Poland. In other news this morning, as Scott Pringle reports, the U.S. will reopen some of its embassies, but almost 20 others remaining closed this week due to possible terrorist attacks.
The worldwide travel alert issued by the State Department continues after intelligence suggests that Al-Qaeda is planning terrorist attacks between now and at the end of the month overseas. Travelers here well aware of it.
I am concerned. I think it depends which country you go to. Yes, and, you know, the safety. At least if you have an embassy, you have some safety.
The alert does not warn against traveling anywhere specific, but is cautioning flyers to be aware of potential attacks, especially in the Middle East and North Africa. At least 19 diplomatic outposts, mostly in Muslim countries, will remain closed at least this week. Scott Pringle at Newark Airport in New Jersey.
Representative Mike McCall says a worldwide terror alert is based on one of the most credible and specific threats since 9/11.
Well, we're on a high state of alert. I have been given every assurance. We're doing everything we can to prevent this threat from happening.
A Texas Republican telling CBS Face the Nation the level of intercepted intelligence and scope of the operation indicates an imminent threat. The U.S. and several European countries shut down embassies in Northern Africa and the Middle East over security concerns from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Meanwhile, many passengers departing from Dulles International Airport say they're concerned about the alert, but this woman says she has confidence in the system.
I think that we get checked so thoroughly, and I mean, even though it's a hassle with the lines, and it's still nice to know that everybody's being well checked and we don't have to worry about anything, so that makes me safe.
The warning comes as the State Department closed 22 U.S. embassies in the Middle East and North Africa. As Scott Pringle reported, the overseas travel alert expected to continue through the end of the month. Senator Lindsey Graham says his trip to Egypt is still on despite internal turmoil and a heightened terror threat there.
I know it's dangerous, but we need to be there with our diplomats giving a unified message to Egypt. Do not let these people drive us out of the Mideast. Do not let them make us abandon our friends.
South Carolina Republican telling CNN State of the Union over the weekend the trip is happening very soon. Graham will be joining fellow Republican Senator John McCain on the trip. Widespread protests have gripped Egypt for weeks now following the ouster of the country's democratically elected president and ruling Muslim Brotherhood Party. Graham called on Brotherhood supporters to get off the streets and allow Egypt's economy to get up and moving again. And it's been exactly 1 year since the Sikh temple shooting in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Governor Scott Walker attending one of several early remembrances over the weekend.
You've shown this community, this state, this country, and the world that love can triumph.
Tonight there will be a special meditation at the temple followed by a candlelight vigil. Six people were killed when a gunman stormed the temple and opened fire. About 100 homes evacuated in northern Louisiana after a train derailed there. The governor, Bobby Jindal, says more than 20 cars went off the tracks.
The car that gives us the most concern, there's a car with vinyl chloride monomer that is damaged. The outer jacket has been removed. 6 feet of the outer jacket has been removed. That means there is stress on the inner tank. It is not leaking at this point in time.
He flew into St. Landry Parish to address residents Sunday night. He said the damage needs to be assessed before people can return home. U.S. 190 closed to the derailment site will be shut down for at least a few days. It'll be business as usual today for commuters using San Francisco Bay Area's rapid transit system. Federal and state mediators have been trying to avert a BART strike, but with the deadline rapidly approaching, Governor Jerry Brown made a decision to step in at the last minute late Sunday.
If the district would come to the table and bargain with us in full and good faith, for a fair and equitable contract, none of this would be necessary. The governor would not have had to get involved.
That's Antoinette Bryan, is president of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1555. The governor ordering an investigation into the agency's negotiations with workers. A move will put any potential strike plans on hold for at least a week. After that, if the two sides are still no closer to a deal that covers issues such as pensions, health care, and raises, the governor could order a 60-day so-called cooling-off period. And a new study shows kids are more likely to pick up the nasty habit of smoking cigarettes if their parents smoke.
That's nature, that's nurture. There is a biologic risk, plus do as I say, not as I do does not work.
That's Dr. Ellen Rome with the Cleveland Clinic, who says parents are the first line of defense. Researchers at Purdue University studying hundreds of parents and children. Results showing at least 20% of children with parents who smoked did pick up the habit. Less than 10% of the kids with non-smoking parents admitted to smoking. The findings are in the journal Pediatrics. It's a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection on Ave Maria Radio, of course, in this local hour, as we refer to it. We're also heard on Berga Broadcasting in the northern parts of the state. In the Grand Rapids area on the west side of Michigan, Holy Family Radio. Over on the east side, Saginaw Bay area, our sister station at Ave Maria, WMAX. And, of course, in northwestern Ohio, happy to have our friends in the Toledo, northwestern Ohio area on board with us. From Annunciation Radio. And, of course, all of you listening online at AveMariaRadio.net across the country, around the globe, or maybe on our app. Just to remind you, speaking of Ave Maria Radio, we are sponsoring a big conference this weekend, and tickets are going quickly. I want to remind you so you don't miss out. And given what's happening in our world right now with the threats from Muslim extremists, Al-Qaeda, being blamed in terms of some of these threats that are coming across, and that's why there's a travel alert. What is going on in our world, and what does this mean? We're asking that question. It'll be debated. It'll be discussed. There'll be a question and answer session. There'll be books available, including Al's new book, Dangers to the Faith. So what you waiting for if you don't have your ticket yet? Go online, AveMariaRadio.net. All the info is there, number to call, location, details, cost. Include your lunch. There'll be plenty of resource tables available. And, of course, very interesting and helpful information about what is going on in our world and the threats to Catholicism and Christianity in general. Coming up next, 2 cents, yours and mine, 877-573-7825. Really interesting readings today. I love the reflection in the Word Among Us, which I'm going to share with you. Moses telling the Lord, kill me now. These people are driving me crazy. Ever felt like that? What's the response? Well, the gospel answers that question. We'll be right back.
In today's economy of buying and selling goods and services, we are all interested in what is best for us and our families. We want the best value for our hard-earned dollar. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during our summer clearance event, you can surely get the most for your money of any vehicle in the market and be treated with the dignity and respect you deserve. 6 acres loaded with new and certified pre-owned vehicles, great products, great services, great prices. Only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Hi, this is Deacon Tom Lowy, Development Director for Ave Maria Radio, with an important update on our Catholic Witness Conference entitled Is Islam a Religion of Peace? The conference is at the Grand Ballroom at Eastern Michigan University Student Center on August the 10th. While ticket sales are brisk, seats are still available. Please be aware that you must register in advance if you want to attend, because there will be no tickets sold at the door. Register today at AveMariaRadio.net or call 734-930-5201.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatments like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
A game changer.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The U.S. House of Representatives made history in June. The House, for the first time in its history, moved to protect the lives of unborn children. It passed a national ban on abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy, when an unborn baby can clearly feel pain. That's not the only history made. Debate on the bill was dominated by pro-life women representatives. all of whom were elected with the support of the SBA list. Although President Obama has pledged to veto it, this legislation is an important milestone in the fight for life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelter, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. At abortion clinics across the country, the bodies of unborn children are literally thrown in the trash each day. At some of these places, pro-life people have gone into the dumpsters to retrieve those bodies and carry out the corporal work of mercy of burying the dead. Over 30 grave sites now hold the bodies of these children. And on September 14th, we invite you to join us in honoring them. Simultaneous memorial services will be held at these grave sites on the National Day of Remembrance, sponsored by Priests for Life, Pro-Life Action League, and Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. Please visit abortionmemorials.com to learn more about this special day and to find the nearest memorial service. Read about the history of these burial sites and learn what you can do to help end abortion. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new.
Sing it, Patsy, of course. Classic Patsy Cline, Crazy. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like your office, your family, your ministry, the people within it are driving you crazy? Well, you're not alone, because Moses felt that way too. How did he respond? Well, how do we respond, more importantly? You know what? The gospel has the answer for that, as it has the answer always for everything. All right, let's take a look at the first reading, which, of course, you can find in a number of locations, including the USCCB website, usccb.org. Just go to the daily readings. Dominic and I use the Word Among Us. Of course, we also have Magnificat and Presentation Ministries, One Bread, One Body, all kinds of great resources out there to do your daily readings. All right, the first reading, okay? Very, very interesting. The children of Israel lamenting, "Would that we had meat for food. We remember the fish we used to eat without cost in Egypt, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic, but now we are famished. We see nothing before us but this manna." Manna was like coriander seed and had the color of resin. When they had gone about and gathered it up, the people would grind it between millstones or pound it in a mortar, then cook it in a pot and make it into loaves, which tasted like cakes made with oil. At night, when the dew fell upon the camp, the manna also fell. When Moses heard the people, family after family, crying at the entrance of their tents, so that the Lord became very angry, he was grieved. "Why do you treat your servant so badly?" Moses asked the Lord. "Why are you so displeased with me? You burden me with all these people. Was it I who conceived all these people? Or was it I who gave birth to them, that you tell me to carry them at my bosom, like a foster father carrying an infant to the land you have promised under oath to their fathers? Where can I get meat to give all these people? For they are crying to me, 'Give us meat for our food.' I cannot carry all this by myself, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you will deal with me, then please do me the favor of killing me at once, so that I need no longer face this distress." And then we see the gospel for today, which is the gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the villages and buy some food for themselves. He said to them, there is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves. But they said to him, 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have here. Then he said, bring them here to me. And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So when the people are driving you crazy, what do? You try to be like Jesus. Beautiful reflection in the Word among us today. Of course, commenting on the first reading from Numbers 11:14. Some years ago, the phrase WWJD was very popular. What would Jesus do? What would he do if he was faced with the situation that we find ourselves in? The slogan reminds us that Jesus faced issues that we face in our daily lives, and that we can imitate him as we walk through our days. Today's readings have a real WWJD angle to them. We see how both Moses and Jesus reacted when they found themselves in very demanding, tiring situations. Let's look at Moses first. Moses had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, showing them time after time how merciful and powerful their God is. Yet the people continued to complain and even tried to revolt. So what would Moses do when he reaches his breaking point? He goes off to complain to God about the burden of leading such a fractious people. Now Jesus, he has just learned that his kinsman and forerunner John the Baptist have been executed. Saddened by the news, he tries to find a quiet place to pray, just as Moses did. But instead, he's faced with a crowd of people. Rather than slip away, he spends a day preaching, healing, and feeding the throng. This is what Jesus would do at his breaking point. Continue to give and to minister. So today's reading tells us what to do when we reach the breaking point. We should make it a point to spend time with the Lord in prayer, but there are also times when we simply can't slip away. That's when we can follow Jesus' example and press on, confident that God will give us the strength we need. The good news is God doesn't have a breaking point. He never gets tired of caring for us. He's always ready to feed us, to comfort us, and to heal our weary hearts. He has endless resources, and he's always ready to share them with you. So don't be afraid to go to the Lord for help. And if life gets in the way of your prayer time, be confident that Jesus will still help you carry on. And the closing prayer and word among us this morning, thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence. Teach me how to find time to be with you. And when I can't, please give me your strength and grace. And you know what? It's okay to tell the Lord, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I'm going crazy. Moses did. The Lord gave him help. And when Jesus was approached, what did he do? He turned around after praying and went back to the people to serve. There's a word I like to use. Actually, I'm talking about this weekend in my presentation to the Catholic Women's Conference down in Florida, Jacksonville Diocese. We're using the acronym, or the word joy as an acronym. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And just when you think you can't give anymore, when the people are driving you absolutely crazy, you need to give just a little bit extra. Keep on pushing. And in the end, you'll feel better. Jesus first, others second, yourself last, even if the people are driving you nuts. It's 8:29.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. A major survey shows that nearly one of five, 20% of American Muslims, say that in the name of Islam, suicide bombing and violence against civilians can be justified. The numbers are considerably higher in other countries. Doesn't this mock the platitude that Islam is a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided series at Eastern Michigan University. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will face off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Turkish columnist Mustafa Akgul claims that Islam can tolerate religious liberty. Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center says no. A young woman will share her conversion from Islam to Christianity. And rising scholar Andrew Bisat will describe Catholics who have struggled to the death against Islam. Lansing Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. The $40 registration includes a box lunch. You can learn more at AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred debate and discussion will see how the common good is served by free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register today and grow your faith.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor, Gainesley Electric of Ypsilanti, serving Washtenaw County and surrounding areas, featuring residential and commercial wiring and standby generators. For information on Gainesley Electric, go to neverblackout.com. You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Who leads the church on its missionary path through history? The principal agent is the Holy Spirit, according to the Catholic Catechism. Urged on by the Spirit of Christ, the Church must walk the path Christ trod, a way of poverty and obedience, service and self-sacrifice, even unto death. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians, says the Catechism. Throughout her history, the Church has experienced the discrepancy between the message and some of the messengers. This is why she follows the way of the cross, a way of penance and renewal, to extend Christ's reign. The process of evangelizing involves bringing the gospel to ears that have never before heard it, establishing God's presence through Christian communities and eventually local churches. There will be times of defeat as the church touches individuals and communities only reached by degrees. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I knew Mom wanted to stay at home. It's the center of her family, her life. But helping Mom stay in her home while managing mine was just too much. Honestly, it wasn't just about me. Mom didn't want me to be her caretaker. She wanted me to be her daughter. I felt so alone until I found out about Home Instead Senior Care. When we met the people at Home Instead, we just knew they were different. The experience was personal. They understood how we were all feeling. They just cared. Because of Home Instead Senior Care, Mom now has a caregiver who can help her stay home. But more importantly, they've made an incredible connection I never expected. And Home Instead changed my life, too. I've found balance again, and most importantly, for Mom and me, I get to be her daughter again.
Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
To learn more, call toll-free 866-922-1400. That's 866-922-1400 or at homeinstead.com.
Words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also Blessed John Paul II, soon to be St. John Paul II. He is the one who started World Youth Day many years ago, and now World Youth Day will be going back to his homeland of Poland in 2016, having just wrapped up in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Of course, the Holy Father talking about World Youth Day again, Ms. Angeles. We'll get to some of those comments in just a minute, but we have on the phone two young people who were there in Brazil for World Youth Day. They're both from St. Thomas Parish, including Father Andrew Siba, newly ordained in June, and Alana Bahura, who's 22 years old and, as I said, was also there for the big World Youth Day events. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Teresa. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good morning. And Father, let me go to you first. How did you get to go to World Youth Day?
Well, I was asked. I was a newly ordained priest, the baby priest, and so the leaders of ECRC, which is the Chaldean lay organization, mm-hmm. put a group together and asked me if I would join them. So I was very blessed and very honored to be with them.
So was this your first World Youth Day event?
Yes, it was. But God willing, it won't be my last.
So what'd you think?
It really was a very incredible experience that really that can't be put to words. Just really brought to life St. Paul's words of we are one body in Christ. And being a visual learner myself and seeing the millions of people from all over the world was very just beautifully overwhelming. Really, to me, and I know the people with me in my group.
Alana, what was the experience like for you? Was this your first World Youth Day?
Yes, this was my first World Youth Day. This is something that I've always wanted to be a part of, but honestly didn't even know what to expect. So I went to World Youth Day without any expectations, for the experience and also to see what it was like to be a part of something so grand. To me, it was an experience of a lifetime because there were so many Catholics from all around the world, and you get to see so many flags. And when you see all those flags up in the air with different colors and different symbols, it's such an experience, such a feeling of like a rush of faith, the rush of like the Holy Spirit that comes straight towards all the groups that come together.
Now, did you, Father, and Alana, and Father, I'll go back to you first. Did you get to meet any Chaldeans actually from Iraq? I know there must have been a group there as well. Vanessa sent me all kinds of great pictures.
Yes, we did, actually. The day of the welcoming ceremony, as we were walking on the beach, Copacabana, from a distance we saw Iraqi flag. And
mm-hmm.
so we just went straight to that flag, and we were very pleased to see. We were very pleased to meet Chaldeans. There was a group of about 170 Chaldeans from Iraq, and accompanied by priests and nuns. And we also met Chaldeans from France and Chaldeans from London and from different parts of the States. And it was really great to again share in that same faith and in that love.
That must have been something. I can only imagine. It gives me chills to think about, especially the Chaldeans from Iraq because of the persecution they've been going through.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, I mean, it was an incredible experience for them. And then we saw them throughout the events, different catechesis programs and different. So it was nice to always, you know, be bumping into them.
Now, Alana, as a young woman in the church, what did you come away with and what will you remember in terms of the things you need to apply to your daily life as a Catholic?
Something I would come away with from this experience would be realizing that there are people out there outside of my own community that are really, really faithful and that are praying for us just as much as we are praying for them. And I think it kind of opened my eyes to a world that is filled with love more than hate, that sometimes, you know, we see on the media is all we see is hate and violence and torture and persecution, as you were saying, in our own country. But I think this is a way for us to realize, you know, there is hope. There is hope for our community. There is hope for Catholics all around the world. And love is always greater than hate. And Jesus will always win in the end. So I think that's something as a youth that we need to evangelize others for them to have hope, because I think hope is something that not many people have anymore in this world because of everything that is going on.
Now, Father, in terms of being a priest and a shepherd at St. Thomas now, what do you feel your responsibilities are after being given that experience at World Youth Day?
Really, you know, what Alana was sharing, is giving this hope and this love. And really the greatest example that I have and that all priests have, really, and really that all Christians have, is our Holy Father. And the love and the humility that radiates from his presence, from his being. I mean, there were over 3 million people there, and we had the privilege of being maybe 5 feet from him, 6 feet away from him as he's passing these crowds. And although there were over 3 million people, I mean, at times I felt like I was the only one present, really, because I was receiving Jesus from him, you know. Mm. And so I think this is something that I will take with me in my ministry in the years ahead of me, God willing.
Were you able to take part in the Mass? Were you able to vest and can celebrate along with the other priests there?
You know, I did not. Okay. I stuck with my group, but it was good because, you know, the millions of people there, it was nice that we were unable to receive communion, just given the constraints and the changing of the location of the vigil. So some things didn't run as smoothly as they may have run. But it was good because, you know, during that time I was able to bless people around me, to receive like a spiritual communion. So it was good. It was good to be with the group. It was an awesome group of pilgrims.
Alana, the Holy Father yesterday in his Angelus message was saying that, you know, it's a mountaintop experience. I'm paraphrasing, you don't have the words right in front of me. He said it's a mountaintop experience for the young people and for everyone taking part in World Youth Day because it's so exciting to be there and you feel such a rush of joy. But he said to pray for the folks like you, Father, and yourself who were there so that you can continue to carry that excitement in terms of your witnessing and hopefully into the next World Youth Day. So what will you be doing as a young woman to make a difference now that you've had that experience?
You know, it's something that I will continue to do, which I've been very passionate about, is helping the youth here in our community. And something out of the little that we could understand from the Pope within his homily was he mentioned helping the youth by the youth. So that's something that stuck to me because it's not only something that I already do, but it kind of gives me a more of a, like I should do it even more. So now what I'll do even more is, you know, help the youth by the youth, but also, you know, help the youth and explain to the youth that we need to continue to help those younger than us or even those older than us, so to continue to evangelize. So within the church right now, I'm trying to, you know, get my friends to go to church or get my friends to just pray with me or just to get my friends to understand how to explain certain things for others that don't understand it. So also a prayer, like you were saying with the Pope, praying for ourselves and praying for the Pope and praying for the youth in general, because right now where the youth stand, the youth will continue to grow, and the way that the church will stand is by the youth. So the future is the youth.
Mm. He talked about that, Father, during his Angelus yesterday about and referred to the first reading from the Old Testament about vanity of vanities, and he said the young people of this day are particularly sensitive to that because we live in such a me-first world and all the commercialism and the materialism. Do you see that in terms of a challenge for yourself as a priest in terms of dealing with young people?
Absolutely, but I think the message that he gave that really goes to the heart of this is, do not be afraid to serve. Do not be afraid to serve. And so if we pray about, you know, serving others, and if we put others before ourselves and be servants, then I think that everything else will fall into place. And as I said before, he is a prime example of a servant of servants.
Yeah. I just pulled up the Angelus from yesterday. Let me read this to both of you, Father and Alana. Let us always remember the youth, and he's talking about the youth from World Youth Day and all the young people in the world, specifically, though, referencing Brazil, his experience in Brazil. Let us always remember the youth, that the youth do not follow the Pope. They follow Jesus Christ carrying his cross, and the Pope leads them and accompanies them on this journey of faith and hope. So I thank all the young people who participated, some of whom made sacrifices to do so. And I thank the Lord, too, for the meetings I had with the pastors and people of the great country that is Brazil, as well as with the authorities and volunteers. May the Lord repay all those who worked for this great feast of faith. I would also like to stress my gratitude to the Brazilians. I would ask you to pray with me that these young people who took part in World Youth Day be able to translate this experience into their daily journey, into their everyday behavior, and also be able to translate it into the important decisions of life, responding to the personal call of the Lord. Today, the provocative words of Kehelet resound in today's liturgy, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Young people, he said, are especially sensitive to the lack of meaning and values that surround them, and unfortunately, they pay the consequences. But meeting with the living Jesus in his great family that is the church fills the heart with joy because it fills us with true life, with a profound good that does not pass or go bad. We saw it on the faces of the kids in Rio, but this experience, he said, must confront the vanity of daily life, the poison of the void that insulates into itself our societies based on profit and having that deceives young people with consumerism. The Sunday Gospel reminds us precisely of the absurdity of basing our happiness on having. The rich man says to himself, "My soul, you possess many things, relax, eat, drink, enjoy." But God says to him, "You fool, this very night your soul will be demanded of you, and the things you accumulated, whose will it be?" So getting back to this whole idea of helping people understand, and Father, I'll go back to you, that it's not all about what we do or what we have in this world. It's about who we are in Christ.
Right, right. We can tell people. But
oop, you're breaking up. You know what? Let's take a quick break because we're losing you on the phone. Let's take a quick break and reconnect. We have to take a break anyway. We're having a little bit of trouble with the cell phones this morning, but we'll call you right back. We don't want to miss that. We have to take a break right now at 8:47. We're talking about reflections from World Youth Day to wonderful young people who experienced it, Father Andrew Seba and Alana Bahura, both from St. Thomas, and, of course, ECRC. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in a Nation Divided series. It'll be at Eastern Michigan University when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Why hasn't Islam produced any democracies? It's debated by Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center and Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol. Other Muslim and Catholic presenters will be there, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass. Registration for the conference is $40 and includes a box lunch. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred discussion will be grateful for free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register now, and I'll see you there.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Welcome back. Talking about World Youth Day experiences. Thanks to my dear friend, Vanessa Denhagarmo. She'll be sitting in for me behind the microphone when Dominic and I go away for our 30th anniversary in September. So appreciate her work with ECRC. and also, of course, her work in the media with Vanessa Denhar Communications, Denha Media. 877-573-7825, Father Andrew Seba and Alana Bahura, both at World Youth Day. Father, I was teasing you and I was calling you a baby priest, but that's because you're a brand new priest. You know I meant that with much love. That
oh, I know.
Yeah.
I still have my training wheels on.
I love the and all the new deacons and the new priests. I just think it's so beautiful. And it's because I know the journey. Of course, I know the priesthood is longer than the diaconate, but having now being married to a newly ordained deacon, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Sure, but with a lot of graces. A lot of
yes.
graces, too.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so I was reading the Holy Father's beautiful comments from the Angelus yesterday, so I'll go first to you, Father, for your reaction of what he said.
I think that there's only so much we can say to the youth. We could tell the youth all of these things, but not until the individual comes to a real personal encounter with the living Jesus will any of it sink into the heart. It might sink into the mind, but it's different if it sinks into the heart and to actually live it. And so myself as a priest and those of us in the community who are youth group leaders like Alana is and others, that's what we pray for, is that the Holy Spirit will help us to lead others to Him, to the true God.
Alana, what do you think are the biggest challenges? Is materialism an issue as a youth leader for you in terms of getting a message across to young people?
I think that is definitely a part of it. Material things of this world, a lot of people take that and they obsess over things. So I think when you obsess over something of the world, it takes away a Christ, or it takes away the focus of Christ. So what I've observed or what I've seen in the youth, I think in general, not just in my own community, is that people tend to focus on things of the world rather than things of Christ. And I think that takes away the path to Christ. And I think it makes it more challenging for the youth. But also, I believe the media, the clothing, things that are all around us, all the distractions that are around everybody, the youth, I feel like that's the media is focusing towards the youth. I think that's the biggest challenge.
So what do you do to break through to them? How do you get through to them, do you think?
I think one of the things that we try to do is it's one thing to explain, but it's another thing, like Father Andrew was saying, there are encounters. So we pray for them, and during our youth sessions, we try to explain certain things of how Christ wants us to be in our lives and how we shouldn't be so attached to worldly things. And it's okay to have worldly things. It's okay to like certain clothing and whatnot, but it's also certain things in moderation. So I think one of the biggest things for the youth to realize is that Jesus is much bigger than all these things of the world. And later on in life, or I should say after our lives, we don't take anything with us. So I think that's something that the youth just is something that they need to realize and recognize, I think, on their own. As a youth leader, you can only do so much with explanations and examples and visuals. And the biggest thing, I think, is prayer, though. I think when we all sit down to pray together as a youth as a whole, and we realize what the importance is of us sitting down and praying, you know, it's not about the things we have. It's not about the things we do. It's about Jesus all in all. And that is when I do physically see others. I physically see the youth really pour their hearts out to Jesus. And then this is when they realize that things of this world is not important. It's what Jesus is important, his love for us and our love for him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Father, and what Alana said, and I think also what you said earlier, getting to the heart, and we can have it in our head, but I think there's an old saying that the longest distance is between the head and the heart. You know, really, really taking Jesus into our hearts. And I think Vanessa and I have had many conversations about this thing growing up in very traditional communities, me in the Italian-American community and of course, Vanessa in the Chaldean community. Very, very similar in terms of love of family, love of food, love of life, and very traditional. We go to Mass, and you have all the beautiful images in your home, and the rosary is important, the Blessed Mother is important, but not really understanding
the faith and who Jesus Christ is. And I think I see this in many other very traditional type ethnic family groups, the Chaldean, Italian, even the Hispanic, of course, Hispanic Catholics. Very similar in terms of Catholicism is very much part of our life, but have we really embraced it in our hearts?
Sure. Sure. And that's something really, I mean, the Holy Spirit is so alive right now, especially in the youth in our community. And there are so many incredible things happening and an increase in mass attendance, especially at the English masses. And I think that people are beginning to realize that. And people are beginning to realize that it's not just about these external images. It's not just about this rosary that I may hang around my neck, but it's about my relationship. And the more that we help people, or rather that the Spirit helps people to understand that there is more to our faith than just words, there is more to our faith than doctrine, but to really just enter into it, you know, and to share it genuinely. I personally, in the very limited amount of time that I've had at this capacity, and even as a seminarian with my community, I see just the Spirit so alive and the hunger of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the lines of confession are, if you come to our liturgies, they're beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. And so people want Jesus, and so
they're hungry. They're hungry for Jesus.
Yes.
They are.
Amen. Amen.
Father Andrew, thank you so much, and God bless
you
on being newly ordained. Thank you for saying yes to the call, to the vocation of the priesthood.
Thank
Alana,
you.
God bless you, sweetie, for your work with the youth group, and keep up
thank
the great
you.
Work. And both of you, so glad you made it back safely and had a great experience. I really enjoyed the pictures that Vanessa sent me. They were adorable.
Good.
So cute. All right, stay strong, you young whippersnappers. Stay strong in the Lord. Father Andrew Seba and Alana Bahura, both from the Chaldean community, and, of course, a beautiful parish of St. Thomas. And, of course, ECRC, Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center. They do so much great work. Coming up, the National Hour, Sister Joseph Andrew from Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. They have a CD. As if they're not busy enough, they're witnessing now through music. And then we're going to talk about what the Pope really said about women. Ashley McGuire joins us for a good discussion about the Pope's beautiful words about women in the Church. Stay tuned.
A great pair of sunglasses should be stylish, comfortable, great-looking, and feel great when you wear them, and so should your vehicle. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we have the vehicles you want at the lowest possible price and payments of the year during our summer clearance event. Whether you're looking for a minivan, truck, SUV, or car, our engineering, quality, and style are amongst the best in the industry. Made by Americans for Americans. Available for sale at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. A major survey shows that nearly one of five, 20% of American Muslims, say that in the name of Islam, suicide bombing and violence against civilians can be justified. The numbers are considerably higher in other countries. Doesn't this mock the platitude that Islam is a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided series at Eastern Michigan University. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will face off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol claims that Islam can tolerate religious liberty. Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center says no. A young woman will share her conversion from Islam to Christianity. And rising scholar Andrew Bisat will describe Catholics who have struggled to the death against Islam. Lansing Bishop Reboyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. The $40 registration includes a box lunch. You can learn more at AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred debate and discussion will see how the common good is served by free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register today and grow your faith.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could.
For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Weekdays at noon, it's More to Life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Each weekday on More to Life, we'll explore the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body.
Tune in for great advice, guests, and the information you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.